All right, let's go to the life of Joseph. We're in Genesis 50:22. We're about to wind this up. Genesis 50:22. Joseph, in the previous verses, had quelled the fears of his brothers after the death of his father Jacob. And his brothers thought that Joseph would turn on them and execute vengeance for the evil that they had done so many years ago. And Joseph assured them by saying, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Joseph knew his position. Joseph knew who he was. Joseph knew what responsibilities he had. He knew the fences that were around his life, and he knew that beyond those fences, it was up to God to take care of. You know, that's one thing about Christian character. It builds fences around us, and we know where we're to be. We're not to go outside those fences. That's God's business. And now we see in verse 22 an advancement of some 54 years to the future. From verse 21 to verse 22, there is 54-year span that is not mentioned. We know that Joseph was about 56 years old when Jacob died, and now we see that Joseph is 110 years old. So he serves the Pharaoh, he serves his brothers, he serves Israel for 54 years in Egypt, and we take it to be that those were prosperous years. They were peaceful years. There's indications that he was in the administration of the Pharaoh for all those years. He was given length of days, and he saw his children's children, and his life was spent in favor with the Pharaoh and in his service, in his high office, a very, very lengthy high office for Joseph. For remember how old Joseph was when he started to serve the Pharaoh, around 30. So for 80 years, he's been serving in Egypt. Little, as I said last week, is made of his role in Egypt after Jacob died, because God's will has been accomplished, and all that was mentioned about Joseph had to do with God's will. And we said that this is a principle of life that we ought to keep in mind, that what is done for God will last. What is done for Christ will last, or is worth mentioning. You know, there's going to be some quiet times at the judgment seat of Christ as those things that are done for Christ aren't mentioned because they weren't done. The scripture tells us that your works are measured by gold and silver and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. Don't you suppose there's going to be some big bonfires at the judgment seat of Christ? You know, that's a very, very serious thought if you really think about that. Do you really think about that as to what kind of bonfire will be for your works for Christ, or for your lack of works for Christ, or for works that you think are for Christ and yet Christ judges them as wood, hay, and stubble? How often do we sit down on a daily basis and think seriously about these matters? Not very often, do we? We're so engaged in this life and so engaged in thinking about the next meal, but we don't spend much time thinking about that. But Joseph's life is passed over here for 54 years, for God's will has executed the fact that the tribes are now in Egypt. God has put Israel in a separated condition. And in that separated condition, God intends to grow them into a people of great number and an identifiable nation, just as he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, way back when Abraham received that promise, I imagine Abraham thought, how is God going to bring this about? What a feat to bring this about. Well, give God time and he'll bring it about, won't he? And now he's brought it about that he has these sons of Israel in the land of Egypt, a cocoon, let's say, to keep them a separated people, to nurture them. Yes, they will be persecuted. They will be given a hard life, but he is doing that for a purpose in conjunction with his promise to Abraham. Now we are told in Exodus 1:8 that there arose a king in Egypt which knew not Joseph. You know, knowing Joseph made a difference to the sons of Israel. Oh yes, the Pharaoh knows my brother. Well, there came a time when the Pharaoh did not know their brother. So when Joseph left the scene, persecution of the children of Israel began. You know, it's good to know somebody, isn't it? It was good to know Joseph, because when Joseph left the scene, and we see in this passage in Scripture that Joseph is leaving the scene. But while Joseph was alive, Joseph saw to it that Israel was a people separated unto God. But when Joseph left the scene, God brought persecution and toil to keep them a separated people. God has his ways. Yes, Joseph, remember when the sons and Jacob came into the land, Joseph sought a separated area in Goshen for their sheep and for their cattle. Well, that was not a casual decision on Joseph's part. Joseph knew the will of God for his people. And while Joseph was around, and Joseph was in a position of power and authority to see to it that this would happen, they were in a separated land. But when Joseph departs the scene, things change, for the Pharaoh came that knew not Joseph. And unless God brought persecution and toil to this people and placed them in a position where they were separate, they would soon be assimilated into Egyptian society and be forever lost. Why do you think we have separation as a body of Christ? Well, if you blend in with the world, if you look like the world and act like the world and smell like the world and do the things of the world, pretty soon you'll be lost into the world. There won't be any body of Christ. You'll just be into the world. So separation is extremely important to God's program. So God saw to it, while Joseph was in power and Joseph was in authority, there was peace in the land. Oh, those were blessed 54 years, but soon it came to be that the Pharaoh knew not Joseph. Don't know Joseph. Who are these people over here taking this prime property? Verse 23. This tells us about Joseph's peace in these years. For Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. Grandpa, great grandpa. And children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. So we see here that Joseph's faithfulness to God in all of his years were blessed by God, By Joseph living long and peacefully and being allowed to see his own grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. Some commentators say that the number 110 was a number that the Egyptians revered as a wonderful lifespan. Any question of why God allowed him to live 110 years to put his blessing upon Joseph in the eyes of the Egyptians whom he served for so many years? But Joseph was faithful to God all of these years, wasn't he? And notice in this passage the closeness of his grandchildren and Joseph's involvement in their upbringing. They were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Joseph was an involved grandparent. Ought we to be involved in our grandchildren's upbringing? You know, they say, there's a saying that says, too soon old and too late smart. It's a German saying. Well, it's not too late smart if you use that smartness as being involved in your grandchildren's upbringing. See? It's not too late, but sometimes we take a back seat. Well, it's not my thing to say. Well, maybe it is your thing to say. Maybe your children aren't doing right by their children. And an act of love on the grandparents' part is to get involved. Now, you don't have to be an ogre about it. But you can get involved and you can advise and you can counsel and you can bring your grandchildren up upon your knees. That's what it's talking about here, that Joseph was involved. Oh, Joseph knew that these children were in for it. These grandchildren were in for it. He knew the promise to Abraham that they would serve in a strange land and that there would be persecution and toil. Got to get these children ready for this persecution and toil. That's the kind of attitude we ought to have. As grandparents, there's persecution and toil. Some of these little children around, running around this church, we don't know what's ahead of them. You know, some of us have had a pretty easy life that has some gray hair. Well, I was raised in the 50s. They talk about the 50s as the golden age. Well, there were some nice things about the 50s that we certainly look back on, but today it's a different story. What's ahead for these children? See, so should we back off and say, well, it's not my problem, I've done my duty? No, you haven't done your duty. That's why you're a grandparent. See? So they were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Think about the stories that Joseph told to his grandchildren. Wouldn't you have loved to sit on Joseph's knee and listen to the stories that Joseph had for his grandchildren? My, what a life he lived. You know, he wasn't so far removed from the flood. He wasn't so far removed from the Tower of Babel. He wasn't so far removed from Abraham's journey to the promised land. And the stories of their cousin Lot and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, these were in the family stories. Oh, what a wonderful heritage Joseph had. You know, it's a shame that I don't have any stories of my great 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 grandfather. What happened to those stories? Oh, how vivid those stories were. How much Joseph, the kind of person and the character that he had, how much he would take time to make those stories alive. You know, we depend upon folks, we depend upon the media to do our job for us. Well, here's a video. Go watch the video. Here's a tape. Go listen to the tape. Well, what about putting them on your knee and telling them some stories from the scriptures, if you don't have any from holy men of old in your family? Or even the family stories. Oh, how vivid they were, and how much we depend on others to do our job. But Joseph had been a principal player in these stories. And I'm sure as he told those stories about his life and how they came into the land of Egypt and how God was in every situation that he was in, how he gave God the glory. How he gave God the glory as each step. You recount Joseph's life and every place God was in it. God was in it. God was in it. Oh, he told him the prison stories about the baker and the butler. Or was it the butcher? I always get those. But it was the baker and the butler. The bee and the bee. Well, the butcher is the bee too. So you get them mixed up. But he told him about these two in the prison. And how one of them got his head cut off. Got to pay attention to what the Pharaoh wants. See? Got to pay attention to what those in authority demand. See? Oh, how he was God's storyteller. You know, that's how these stories were preserved through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And they went to Moses, and Moses, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, wrote these things down and very carefully wrote them down for our learning. They were supernaturally preserved because of men like Joseph. And Joseph said to his brethren, he's 110 years old. Verse 24, I die. Oh, no, 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 Joseph. No, 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 Joseph, you don't die. Joseph said, yes, I die. You know, somehow when a man is dying, he knows he's dying. I don't know what it is because I've never been there. But there's something that God tells Joseph. Joseph, this is your time. 110 years has been given to you. Your father lived 147, but you've got 110 years. It's time, Joseph, to come home. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. Oh, I like this. For it presents hope. What do you live on? Hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I walk in hope. I get up in the morning, I'm still hoping. I go to bed at night, I'm hoping. Aren't you hoping? Aren't we a hoping people? Aren't we a people that knows that God will surely visit you? That's what Joseph said to his brethren. Talk about an encouragement. Joseph could say, oh, I die. I don't want to die. I just don't want to leave. I got all my grandchildren. I haven't done telling them the story and blah, 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 blah. And could have been moaning and groaning and feeling pity for himself. But he offers hope. That's just like Joseph. Now remember, when I glorify and lift up Joseph, I'm lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is given to us in the scriptures as a type of Christ, as a forerunner of Christ. So I don't want to unnecessarily lift up Joseph, but I want to remind you that when I lift up Joseph, I'm lifting up Christ. And Joseph offers hope. They say, well, we sure got it made in Egypt. Our fields are golden. Our herds have expanded their huge herds. All our homes are well established. Got 3 bedrooms, running water, wall-to-wall mats. Camels got their own barns. Oh, it's a wonderful place here in Egypt. But he says, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Oh, you see, in Joseph's mind, yes, all of this was wonderful, but this is not the land of promise. See, this is not our home. You see, we in America say, oh, this is a wonderful land. We got it made. Everything's wonderful. I'm not ready to go, but this isn't our home. Boy, you get your eyes on this earth and you get rooted in this earth so deeply, you forget about where your home is. Isn't that right? So Joseph always was one to shake them a little bit and realize what you are. This isn't where we live. God's going to surely visit you. Remember, we're going to be here for a period of time and then we're out of here. Well, you know, it took another 350 years to convince the children of Israel that they wanted out of here. Wasn't so good with making brick, having to get your own straw. You know, I don't mind making brick if you give me straw. I ain't giving you no straw no more. You got to get your own brick. See? Moses is a bother to me. So get your own straw. Well, it got rough, didn't it? Well, it went from the time of Joseph where everything was peaceful and luxurious and wonderful, and they had wonderful farms and fields and herds and sheep, and it got from there all the way to the brickyard. And they said, let us out of here. See? A lot of times that's what it takes for God to pull up your roots. See? Pull up your roots. So Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Oh, that theme is constant through this scripture. The promised land. The promised land. That's where we belong. You see how that was implanted in the heart of the modern Jew? How that became from Genesis all the way to 1999. There's something in the heart of the Jew that says, I want to be in that land. What is it? It's the same thing that Joseph had. The promise to Abraham from God. Now, we're not given who or how many of his brothers were still alive at this last hour. We're not told. Remember that Joseph was the second to the youngest of the sons of Jacob. Benjamin was the youngest. So, most likely, some of his brothers preceded him in death. Some of them were 10 or so years older. But we see in this last hour, Joseph's faith shines through as he clings to the promise of the land that God gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This promise was the thread that tied this family together. We got the same promise. Jesus is coming again. See, we're all tied together with that promise, aren't we? Are you a believer? Yes, I'm a believer. What's your hope? Jesus is coming again. Got the same hope. Got that same cord that is wrapped around all of us. That's what they had. That's what Joseph had. You see, that promise was the connection of all of the present to all of the past and to all of the future. That promise was made to the multitudes that came from the loins of Abraham, and as God promised, were to be innumerable as the sands upon the seashore. That was in the forefront of their minds. That's the promise. That's the promise. And Joseph says, and God will surely visit you. Be patient. There's the promise. Joseph looked back on his life and he saw all of the little events that brought them into the land of Egypt. He saw God's hand in this. He looked at this and he says, yeah, God's hand was in that. He looked at this event with Potiphar's wife and his imprisonment. He saw the baker and the butler. Oh yeah, God was in that. He saw his meeting with the Pharaoh, his interpretation of the dream. Oh, God was in that. And he saw all these things here, and he knew that God would carry out his promise to Abraham. Isn't that how we work? We ought to. That's why we ought to study the Scriptures. If we want to have faith, you got to study the Scriptures. You got to see, well, yeah, God said he was going to do this, and he did it over here. Yes, a couple of chapters down over here, he said he was doing this, and then maybe 10 books down, it came about. God doesn't want us to be ignorant and just have blind faith. Our faith is built on the evidence of the Scriptures. See? God will surely visit you. Oh, what hope Joseph had. You know, there was nothing more secure in Joseph's heart than that God will surely visit you. And this guided his mind to give direction concerning his bones. I'm not going to leave you. I'm staying here in Egypt with you. And when we leave, you take my bones with you. Isn't that glorious on Joseph's part? Oh, Joseph knew that hard days were ahead for Israel, for Abraham had been told by God in Genesis 15:13, way back in Genesis 15:13. How many years was that? Oh, must have been 400 at least. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety. Boy, when God says that, God doesn't even have to say that. He just has to say this is going to happen. But he precedes his remarks, know of a surety, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Hey, we're in Egypt. How'd that come about? God's promises. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Don't like that part. See, Joseph knew what was going on here. He knew that there was an end to this period. 400 years. Long period. It's going to be longer than my lifetime. That was longer than anybody's lifetime, wasn't it? So, These sons of Jacob that came into the land, they came about and they passed on, and their children came about and they passed on, and their children came about and they passed on, and pretty soon Moses was born. 400 years of affliction. So Joseph saw by the eyes of faith the days of tribulation coming upon Israel. He saw Israel crushed. He saw Israel broken under a conquering Pharaoh, because there came a day when there was a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. We don't know what all that portends. Perhaps there was a conquering Pharaoh. We don't know. But when Joseph died, the memory of Joseph dimmed. You know, you got to remember that happens, don't you? What was the fellow's name that served here for 50 years? He's been dead 2 years. That's what faithfulness brings. See? People don't remember other people's faithfulness. God does. God does. You know, you can come to a point in your life where you don't even know who you are. You're wandering around and going out in the woods in your pajamas. Does that mean that your faithfulness is forgotten? No, God remembers it. See? Isn't that wonderful? But he saw Israel crushed. He saw Israel broken under a conquering Pharaoh. For Joseph knew the word of God, and he knew where he was in God's program and where God's program was taking them. Joseph knew the word of God. He knew those promises to Abraham, and he knew where he was in those promises. So if you desire spiritual vision of the future, you must know the word of God. It's obvious that Joseph lived his life rooted in God's infallible promise to Abraham. That was a guiding force in Joseph's life. Joseph was one who stood on the promises, isn't it? This incident is the one incident, also, by the way, that the Holy Spirit chooses to characterize the life of this hero of faith. We'll turn to Hebrews and see that. But Joseph lived. If you look at Joseph's life and all the activities and events that took place in this exemplary life of faith, a life where adversity, a life where trials, a life where difficulties were, those weren't mentioned in the hall of faith listed in the book of Hebrews. But this event that he is about to have is mentioned in Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, this is what's mentioned, his whole life. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. This was his vision, put there by faith. And that's what pleases God, isn't it? So the important thing to God is the overall plan for his people. And Joseph's desire to return to the promised land with Israel was a promotion of that plan. That's one thing about Joseph. He always promoted the plan of God. Where is the plan of God going? Well, it's going that way, Joseph. Well, that's the way I'm going. I'm not going over there. I'm not going just a couple of degrees off. I'm going over there. Yeah, but the plan is going that way now. Well, that's the way I'm going. See, you see that in Joseph's life. He was always ready to promote the plan of God. Joseph was aboard the train that God was driving, and old Joseph was shoveling coal into the boiler. That's where you find Joseph, always on the track that promotes the plan of God. Never hindered God's plan. Always did his part to move it along in the direction of God's will. And of course, we know he emulated the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Not my will, but thy will." That's the kind of man that Joseph was. And in this, we see that no one man is necessary to God's program, for Joseph is passing off the scene. You know, if a ministry stands or falls on one man, it isn't God's will that is being done, but it's that man's will that's being done. If a man leaves the scene and the ministry leaves the scene, it was that man's ministry. The secret of a ministry that is doing God's will, it keeps on rolling along. Keeps on rolling along, doing God's will as we pass off the scene. All right, we'll stop there. And we didn't finish yet, but we will someday. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and mercy, giving us this opportunity to teach. We do thank you for these folks that have given an attentive ear, that this word of God would help them to be more faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.